Gracious God, we know love because you made it eternally visible in the person of Jesus Christ. And he revealed the depth of that love by laying down his life for us. And we pray that our gratitude may be visible through our care for others and for this world in which we live. Jesus showed us that love was not confined to words only, nor was it ever an abstract quality, but was at all times a heart-centered activity. And so stir such a love in our hearts, we pray, so that all we do may be pleasing to you and be the very best evidence of our identity as a people with the risen Christ living within us, giving us life. This we pray in his name. Amen.
Please join me in this psalm of comfort. God, my shepherd. You may be seated. Wander from hope to hope, looking for the next new thing that will lead us in the ways in which we long to live. Yet, if we open our eyes and pay attention, we will see the Good Shepherd who brings us mercy and hope, even as we confess all the foolish mistakes we have done and all the wrong turns we have made. Join me as we pray together.
Good news that wherever we are, God is with us. And whoever we are, God forgives us and offers us new life. Surely, goodness and mercy are the companions that we have been longing for our entire life. And faithful friends, we are on this journey together as God's people and sheep of His pasture. Amen. The epistle reading this morning is found in your pew Bible, page 240. This is book of 1 John, the third chapter, reading verses 16 through 24. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for one another. How does God's love abide in anyone who has the world's goods and sees a brother or sister in need, and yet refuses to help? Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. And by this we will know that we are from the truth, and will reassure our hearts before Him whenever our hearts condemn us. For God is greater than our hearts, and He knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have boldness before God, and we receive from Him whatever we ask, because we obey His commandments and do what pleases Him. And this,
This is His commandment, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as He has commanded us. All who obey His commandments abide in Him, and He abides in them. And by this we know that He abides in us, by the Spirit that He has given us.
No.
don't care how many times or how many ways you hear Psalm 23, it is always beautiful. This morning, the gospel lesson continues with that as we listen to the 10th chapter of John, verses 11 through 8. I, Jesus says, am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and run away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand doesn't care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. And I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for my sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock and one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. And no one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. And I have the power to lay it down. I have the power to take it back up again. And I have received this command from my Father. The grass withers, the flowers fade, the word of our Lord lasts forever. Amen. Will you join me in prayer? Good and gracious God, by the words that we have heard read in your scriptures this morning, and by the power of your Spirit, we pray, Lord, that you will open our eyes, open our hearts, open our ears, but mostly, Lord, open our entire lives to you. So that what your Spirit has to say to us this morning will be heard and will be acted upon. These things, Lord, we pray in the name of your precious Son. Amen. My class schedule in seminary had me attending session meetings as the youth director at Shepherd of the Hills as I could. But there was this one particular meeting that the pastor, David Evans, requested my presence. A family who had attended the church but left for reasons unknown to me had decided that they wanted to come home. And David wanted me there because they had two teenage sons, and we were hoping that they would become involved in youth ministry again. When I was going through my folder for sermon illustrations, I ran across this, and all of those memories started flooding back. The two boys were incredibly gifted, wonderful young men, and I have shared Anthony's baptismal story with you many years ago. And while I don't have the exact quotes, I'm a pretty good note taker, and so what I think that I will share by way of memory and notes, I'm pretty comfortable and confident that I am at least capturing the essence of what Peggy wanted to say. I do remember that without any prompting, without any prying, Peggy, the mother, opened up about the what that had brought them back. But that's not for this, or what that had taken them away, and that's not for this sermon today. But I do think I need to give you a little bit of history, and I think I may have shared this, some of this at least before, but some history that will help you make sense of where this is going. This was back in the late 90s, and Shepherd of the Hills had a relationship with their sister, with a sister church in Guatemala. And during the time that I was there, those late 90s, PCUSA began the companionship program because particularly clergy and also other Christians were being kidnapped at an alarming rate. They were being tortured and released, and some were never making it home. And so PCUSA began this companionship program whereby U.S. Citizens served as volunteers and as companions to their Christian brothers and sisters in Guatemala. It was risky, yes, but maybe not as risky as it was originally thought. Because of the power of the United States, it was discovered that those thugs and those thieves and those who were acting out corruption, whether it was in politics or with economics or education or the military, people were less likely to be a target of those if an American friend was a companion with them. Volunteers served for 6 months at a time because it was intense. They would come home, and then after some time at home, if they wanted to go back, they could. Well, a member of at Shepherd, Josie, a Native American who spoke fluent Spanish, and I remember a very kind, very gentle, very quiet soul. He had volunteered, and we were commissioning him and sending him off with the Lord's blessing. So now back to the family's coming home story. It was that Sunday of Josie's commissioning that brought this family back. They were Josie's best friends. And as Peggy continued speaking, she shared that it was really hard to come back. They tried to make no eye contact with each other. They came in as late as allowable. They sat at the back. But as I sat there, she said, I saw other friends. And then I remembered friends and saints long gone. I remembered the lessons taught and the lessons learned in the sanctuary. And I saw the faces of so many who had promised to help raise our boys in faith through their baptisms. And then I looked at Josie and at the stole with the shepherd's crook, as it was placed on his shoulders. And everything that I loved about the church just came crashing in on me as I cried. What I love about this church, with the good times, the bad times, with the struggles personally and corporately, with the real disagreements and with the petty stuff of life and worship. This church, Peggy said, is still trying to be the best sheep flock that it can be. And of all the ways to send our friend into harm's way, the symbol of the good shepherd's crook around his neck was a heart opener for me. We've missed the good shepherd, and we have missed his whole flock. We want to be part of helping others understand how the shepherd takes care of us, and I want to learn again how to love with the love of a shepherd. And our family together wants to come home. So what does it take to be a good and a faithful shepherd? Sometimes it's as easy as returning home to the arms of the good shepherd and loving with his love, wherever that is. That kind of loving is a calling that urges us to take some risk, and it was a risk for Peggy and her family to come home. They had absolutely no idea how they were going to be greeted. Would the family love them with the Lord's love or not? It was some risky business. But no one knows more about risk than Jesus. And if we have to follow in order to learn how to love, then there's no one better to be behind or to be walking with beside. If you could take one thing right now, at this very moment, one thing that is frightening or disturbing or unnerving to you, and risk handing it over, putting it in the arms of the Good Shepherd, what would that be? When I write letters of recommendation for Alex Pappas, this is always, or something similar to this, is always included in what I say. Whatever Alex undertakes, whether it is academics, volunteerism, leadership roles, or old-fashioned fun, she gives it her all-out effort. But her intense personality doesn't translate into the need for her to be in control. She's comfortable stepping out and leading and guiding. She is equally comfortable being behind the scenes as a supporter who does not require the limelight. Her level of maturity has allowed her to lead and serve beside throughout all of these years and do it with a wide range of ages, from vacation church school age kids to her own peers at Synod Youth Workshop. She's comfortable leading. She's comfortable following. It really does take a good follower to be a good leader. As the song goes, perhaps we need to let Jesus take the wheel. Or in this case, maybe we need Jesus to take the shepherd's crook, and we need to do more following in order to model how Jesus leads. The humility of following doesn't come naturally or easily for many of us. We like to lead. But the risk of being a follower is worth it. It brings us into a deeper intimacy with God. And many of us are far better at recognizing and responding to the needs of other than we are at acknowledging our own needs. Amen? Most of us are there. And yet there is something that's critical, and it's missing when we resist placing ourselves into the hands of God and allowing God and others to provide support for us and encouragement and strength and even challenge. Jesus was gifted to us so that we could see how to care without asking for anything in return, but also how to receive with grace. It is expecting nothing in return for love that leads Jesus to describe himself as the good shepherd versus the hired hand. The hired hand is someone who only cares about getting paid, who only is going to expend enough energy to get the job done, and who is absolutely not going to risk life or limb for the sake of someone else. The hired hand is selfish enough that no one else matters but him. Jesus does what Jesus does because of love, and you and I can model that same love. And that's exactly what the church of 1 John needed to hear. He's writing to this church that's facing its own fears, its own struggles with faith, and this early church pastor senses that kind of discord that's going on and feels compelled to come and to talk about love. He knew that that's what they needed. Perhaps people of that day, not unlike us, have a tendency to conceive of love primarily as this thing we call emotion. But the writer of 1 John instead speaks of love as a decision. It is a commitment that one makes, something that you and I decide to do. We decide to love. And I love how the Message paraphrases this verse. My dear children, let's not just talk about love, let's practice real love. So how is it that we practice real love but by letting go of our fears and embracing the model of God? The model of a servant's heart seeking the best for others. And it takes discipline to love with the love of the Lord. And acting on that love that you and I call discipleships takes the nurturing of that relationship on our own with God, and then that daily outpouring of that to others. If we walk through the motions without being fully rooted in faithfulness and love and the Lord, our faith will wither. Our faith, our lives have this rhythm to them. And you and I know when that rhythm is good, and we know when that rhythm is not good. We feel the rhythm is good when everything is working together. But when things are forced, when things make us feel like we're drained, when we wonder why life is so hard, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, tells us that he came to show us how to live a life that is in sync with God. And that is a peaceful place to be. Jesus came to show us how to be good and faithful followers in order that we might be leaders in sharing the love of the Lord. So it is with me, and I suspect with many of you. We believe in God, we trust in Jesus, we listen for the leading of the Holy Spirit, but we still yearn for this sort of deeper spiritual life. We all have within us that sort of hunger that wants to be in a close relationship. We want that connectivity with God that will sustain us through all of the changes of life. But we have to be good followers first. first. We do that, and the Lord will take care of the leading. But often, the push and pull of trying to deepen our faith happens most often when we let go of our fears and we experience the love of God. Think about how you and I live most of our days. Maybe not all day, maybe not every day, but certainly more so now than ever. We have suspicion and fear that abound in this world. Henry Nouwen once said, "The invitation of Christ is the invitation to move out of the house of fear and move in to the house of love." It's all too easy to talk about the love of God and not follow, but our faith is deepened when we take the risk to do that. We have family and friends here at Eastminster who have taken a break. What if they would like to come home, but they're a little bit like Peggy? They're not sure about a return reception. Can I ask all of us to intentionally be in prayer this week about how you and I might reach out to them in a real way to let them know that they are loved and they are a missed member of God's flock and of ours? We have many. And sometimes you know that when you get out of the habit of coming, even when there's nothing going on, just to get out of the habit of coming to church, it's hard to slip back in that pew. I ask that you join me in praying that some way, somehow, if they are meant to be back here as part of this flock, that the Lord, through us, will let them know that the doors are open. And I'm going to leave you with one question this week for yourself. As a sheep in the Lord's flock, what is it about the good news of the Good Shepherd and our relationship with Him that makes a daily difference in our lives? Amen.
I invite you to stand as we affirm our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried.
As we offer up our prayers, remember, the Spirit of Christ is already in that heart. Let us pray. Gentle Shepherd, thank you for the ways that you have led us in green pastures and by still waters. You've shown us beauty this week that's fed our souls. The brilliant green of the budding trees glowing in the morning sun, and the delicate symphony that those birds sing each morning. They warm our hearts, Lord. Some of us through the week, however, have walked through some dark valleys. And all of us know someone in a dark valley, whether that be because of sickness or grief or uncertainty or fear. And yet, God, you meet us there in the darkness and you protect us. We know that enemies are present in our life, that there are forces that want to take us away from you. And so we need your help in our lives. Lord, we have put before you the concerns of our heart this morning, those that have been spoken, those that have been silent. And so now we trust, Good Shepherd, that whatever is weighing heavily on us, that we can put it in your arms. Take a little load off of ourselves and have some rest. Knowing, Lord, that yes, we are responsible for the ways we act and what we do, but we also know, Lord, that you give us the help we need when we act out in ways that we should not. We're grateful that you provide for our very basic needs, the food that we've eaten, a variety of things that we have in our diets. We are glad, Lord, that you give us the joy of cooking, and we are very grateful for clean water that comes right into our homes. And thank you, Lord, for anointing us with oil, for giving us the gift of grace, and providing unexpected blessings over and over again. We trust that your goodness and your mercy is following us all the days of our life, and we give you thanksgiving that it's a good life. We give you thanksgiving for life and breath this day, a day that we have come to praise and to thank you, and a day that we have come to remember all of the provisions that you give us. And we do that, Lord, when we remember the prayer that your Son has taught us to pray. And so we pray together saying, Our Father, who art in heaven,
hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.
With the psalmist, we say these beautiful words. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not any of God's benefits. May we receive God's tithes and our offerings.
pray together the prayer of thanksgiving.
King of love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his and he is mine forever. Perverse and foolish, oft I stray, but yet in love he sought me, and on his shoulders gently laid, and home rejoicing brought me. May the love of God and the comfort, the grace, the peace, the love of the Good Shepherd, and the power of the Holy Spirit be with us all this day and every day.